So now the fun begins. So we've got 9 readings. If you'd like to be part of one of the readings and read one, please come up in line here. And I'm going to start with the first one so you guys can go ahead and come up and get in line as you can. The book of Esther, chapter 1, we went through a lot of things this morning during class. So if you weren't here, we'll have that posted soon, probably by next weekend-ish. We went through some good things about Esther today during class. Yeah, I got to give some instructions. So when you see this, who do we boo? Haman. You boo and you make noise, boo. And then... Boo! Thank you, Casey. And no, I appreciate that. You know, in every synagogue, there is what's called a goodbye or someone who is there watching things and making corrections. And since I don't have anyone up here reading Hebrew with me, that's why I have my little Hebrew sheet to correct myself as I'm going through. So that's just part of it, to get it right and do it right. All right. And then when we hear Esther, yay! All right, so you guys ready?
Ready.
Esther, see, you know, you could come up here, Dr. Casey, and give some instruction. I would be okay with that. All right.
Exactly.
Casey, Ben, Brent. All right, so with that, we start. These events took place in the time of Ahasuerus. The Ahasuerus who ruled over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia. It was in those days when King Ahasuerus set his royal throne in Shushan, the capital. I'm not going to give much commentary, but I'm going to give a little bit right here. What does the word Shushan mean in Hebrew? Anybody know? The word Shushan in Hebrew means lily. But the word in Hebrew for rose is, it's susan or sosan. It's basically the same word. So there's a lot of confusion about between a lily and a rose in Hebrew. When you've heard the term lily of the valley or rose of Sharon, when you hear the term Shushan, it's saying rose. But it's very interesting that he sat on his royal throne in Shushan, the capital, as king. But who does Scripture refer to as the real king? The lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the fairest of 10,000, Yeshua. He's sitting in the place of Yeshua ruling. But Yeshua was the one who placed him there, because Scripture tells us that God in the hands of God. And he turns their hearts where he will. Amen. It was in those days when King Ahasuerus sat on his royal throne in Shushan, the capital, in the third year of his reign, that he gave a banquet for all his officials and courtiers. The army of Persia and Media, the nobles and the provincial officials were in attendance. He displayed the dazzling wealth of his kingdom and his great splendor for a long time, 180 days. At the end of that time, the king gave a 7-day banquet in the courtyard of the royal palace garden for all the people, both great and small, there in Shushan, the capital. There were white cotton curtains and blue hangings fastened to silver rods with cords of fine linen and purple. The columns were marble. The couches for reclining at the table were of gold and silver on a mosaic floor of malachite, marble, and mother of pearl and onyx. Drinks were served in gold goblets, with each goblet different from the others. There was royal wine in abundance, as befits royal bounty. The drinking was not according to any fixed rule, for the king had ordered his stewards to serve each man what he wanted. Also, Vashti, the queen, gave a banquet for the women in the royal house belonging to King Ahasuerus. On the 7th day, when the king was in high spirits from the wine, he ordered Mehuman, Bitsa, Harvona, Bikta, Avakta, Zatar, and Carcass, the dead one, no, I'm kidding, the 7 officers who attended him, to bring Queen Vashti before the king with the royal crown in order to show the people and the officials her beauty, for she was indeed a good-looking woman. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the order of the king, which she had sent through his officers. This enraged the king. His anger blazed inside him. Yeah. As was the king's custom, he consulted sages well-versed in matters of law and justice. With him were Karshna, Shitar, Admata, Tarshish, Meriz, Marzna, Memucan, the seven vice-regents of Persia and Media, who were part of the king's inner circle and were most important officials in the kingdom. The king asked the sages, according to the law, what should we do with Queen Vashti? Since she didn't obey the orders of King Ahasuerus conveyed by the officers. Memucan presented the king and vice-regents this answer. Vashti, the queen, has wronged not only the king, but also the officials and all the peoples in the provinces of King Ahasuerus. Because this act of the queen's will became known to all the women, who will then start showing disrespect toward their own husbands, and they will say, King Ahasuerus ordered Vashti the queen to be brought before him, but she wouldn't come. Moreover, the noble ladies of Persia and Media who hear the queen's conduct will mention it to all the king's officials, which will bring about no end of disrespect and discord. If it pleases his majesty, let him issue a royal decree, and let it be written as one of the laws of the Persians and Medes, which are irrevocable, that Vashti is never again to be admitted into the presence of King Ahasuerus, and that the king give her royal position to someone better than she, when the edict made by the king is proclaimed throughout the length and breadth of the kingdom, then all wives will honor their husbands, whether great or small. This advice pleased the king and the officials, so the king did what Memucan had suggested. He sent letters to all the royal provinces, to each province in its own script, and to each people in their own language, that every man should be master of his own house and speak the language of his own people. It's very interesting here, and I said I wasn't give a lot of, but I'm give a couple little things here. It's very interesting here what's going on. We remember the story of Esther and Mordecai, or we're going to hear it. But we've been talking a lot about what was going on in Persia. Remember, the Jews were in exile. They had, what did they do? They were in exile in a pagan land with pagan cultures, but they were allowed to live in peace. They weren't being killed and hunted down and killed off. So what did they do? They established what? Which had three things in it. What did it have? It had a bathtub, it had a hot tub, it had a jacuzzi spa. No. Yeah. A mikvah. Yeah. They did have a mikvah. But that's kind of part and parcel of establishing the synagogue. But why did they establish the synagogue again? What were the three reasons? To teach Torah, bet midrash, a house of Torah teaching and studying. A bet tefillah, which is what? Prayer. And what is tefillah? Where do we see that in Scripture? Well, tefillah is Tehillim, is the name for what book? Psalms. So we see the prayers of David. We see him praying all the time, talking to God about things. Tehillah, to pray. And then Beit Din. We just talked about this idea in class that on Tuesdays and Thursdays, the people would come down into the city from the walled cities or the little towns, and there was specific instruction given on when they could have Purim based on when were all the people in town. Tuesdays and Thursdays, they come into town to shop and to sell at the markets, and if there was a problem, they could go to the Beit Din at the synagogue and say, I got a problem with the lady in the back row. You know, she did me wrong last week. And she said, no, Rabbi, I didn't do anything. You did it. And see, there's a problem. But that wasn't bad, though, was it? And we'd stand before the Beit Din, and they'd say, okay, what happened? They hear both sides, and then they make an agreement. Or they would make a ruling, and we would say, okay, I didn't mean to do it. Sorry, I didn't mean to. And she said, oh, Rabbi, I didn't know. I love that. I didn't mean to do that to you, Rabbi. It just happened. And they said, it's all good. The Beit Din has spoken. We're going about our business. We live in peace. This was going on in Israel. or in Israel, with the Jewish people in exile. And so I'm going to mention this. I'm not going to say a whole lot about it, but I'm just going to give this to you. When have you ever heard me say that before? That was rhetorical. What was it that, I know Stacy knows, I've talked to her about this. What was it that Vashti was asked to do that she wouldn't do? What did the rabbis say? Hang on, see if you probably know it, so hang on a sec. Anybody? Come before the king. Well, she was asked to come before, yeah. Yeah, it's what the rabbis have talked about for years about. Yeah, go ahead.
To appear naked.
To dance naked before the people. And so she said no. So this is part of the story of Esther that a lot of people don't understand, is that now you have a young Jewish woman, Jewish girl, who comes in, and she sacrifices a lot to be the redeemer of Israel at that time. With that, I'm going to pause and give this to our next reader. Our next reader. That would be you. All right. Chapter 2.
A while later, when King
Hashfarosh
anger had subsided, he remembered Vashti. Hey, don't laugh.
That's okay, good.
Listen, we're not going to get through this if you... Vashti, what she had done and what had been decreed against her. The king's servants attending him said, a search should be made for young, good-looking virgins. The king should appoint officials in all the provinces of the kingdom to gather all the young, good-looking virgins to the house
for the harem in Shushan,
the capital. They should be put under the care of Haggai, the king's officer in charge of the woman, and he should give them the cosmetics they require.
He sent in the Mary Kay lady to them.
Then the girl who seems best to the king should become queen instead of Vashti.
Vashti. That too. You call it Vashti.
Vashti. Vashti. This proposal pleased the king, so he acted accordingly. There was in Shushan, the capital, a man who was a Jew, whose name was Mordecai.
Yay!
The son of Yari, the son of Shimi. The son of Kish, a Binyani. He had been exiled from
Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah, Jerusalem.
Yeah.
With the captives exiled with
Yekaniah,
king of Yehuda, whom
Nebuchadnezzar,
king of Babel, had carried off. He had raised
Hadassah.
Mm-hmm. That is Esther.
Yay!
Wow. Oh, you guys were reading it up there?
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how'd you know, Judy?
Okay. His uncle's daughters, because he had neither father nor mother. The girl was shapely and good looking after her father's and mother's death. Mordecai had adopted her as his own daughter. When the king's order and decree were proclaimed, and many girls assembled in Shushan, the capital, under the care of Haggai, Esther,
yay,
too was taken into the king's house and put under the care of Haggai, who was in charge of the woman. The girl pleased him and won his favor, so that he lost no time in giving her cosmetics, her portions of special food, and 7 girls from the king's palace to attend her. He also promoted her, and the girls attended her to the best place in harem's quarters. Esther did not disclose her people or family ties because Mordecai had instructed her not to tell anyone. Every day Mordecai would walk around in front of the courtyard of the harem's house in order to know how Esther was doing and what was happening to her. Each girl had her turn to appear before King
Ahasuerus
after she had undergone the full 12-month preparation period prescribed for the women, consisting of 6-month treatment with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with perfumes and other cosmetics for women. Then when the girl went to see the king, whatever she wanted would be given to her as she went from the harem's house to the king's palace. She would go in the evening, and on the following day she would return to another part of harem's house and be under the care of
Shaashgaz,
the king's officer in charge of the concubines. She would not go to the king again unless he was especially pleased with her and had her summoned by name. When the term came for Esther, the daughter of Avishakil, whom Mordecai had adopted his own daughter to appear before the king. She didn't ask for anything other than what Haggai, the king's officer in charge of the harem, advised. Yet Esther was admired by all who saw her. She was brought to King
Ahasuerus. King Ashkashbagash.
In his royal palace, in the 10th month, Tevet, during the 7th year of his reign. The king liked Esther.
And it's a good thing he did. Keep going.
More than any of his wives. None of the other virgins obtained such favor and approval from him. So he put the royal crown on her head and made her queen in place of
Vashti.
The king then gave a great banquet in Esther's honor. For all his officers and servants, decreed a holiday for the provinces and distributed gifts worthy and royal bounty. When the girls would gather on other occasions, Mordecai would sit at the king's gate. Esther had not yet revealed her family ties or her people, as Mordecai had ordered her. For Esther continued obeying with Mordecai, told her to do as she had when he was raising her. On one of those occasions, when Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, 2 of the king's officers, Bigtan and Teresh from the group in charge of the private entryways, became angry and conspired to assassinate King Ahasuerus. posh bagosh.
Yeah, yeah.
But Mordecai learned about it and told Esther. Esther reported. Reported it to the king, creating Mordecai. Crediting Mordecai. The matter was investigated, found to be true, and both were hanged on a stake. All this was recorded in the daily journal that was kept with the king. Right. Amen.
Amen. You made it. Yay. Next. There we go.
Sometime later, King Ahasuerus began to single out Haman, the son of Hamdata the Agagi, for advancement. Eventually, he gave him precedence over all his fellow officers. All the king's servants at the king's gate would kneel and bow down before Haman, because the king had so ordered. But Mordecai would neither kneel nor bow down to him. The king's servants at the king's gate asked Mordecai, why don't you obey the king's order? But after they had confronted him a number of times without his paying attention to them, they told Haman, in order to find out whether Mordecai's explanation that he was a Jew would suffice to justify his behavior. Haman was furious when he saw that Mordecai was not kneeling and bowing down to him. However, on learning what people Mordecai belonged to, it seemed to him a waste to lay hands on Mordecai alone. Rather, he decided to destroy all of Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole of Ahasuerus' kingdom. In the first month, the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of Ahasuerus, they began throwing pur. That is, they cast lots before Haman every day and every month until the 12th month, which is the month of Adar.
Go ahead and pause right there for me. So what is pur? Or what is a pur? A lot. So what is multiple pours? Purim. Purim. So that's what we're celebrating, Purim, the casting of lots, which is a very common practice in the time. There's a, remember in the New Testament, Yeshua's one-piece garment? What do? They cast pur. We've been to the Antonia fortress and where they actually, they have found in the floor the original, they would have like a, almost like a board, or like you play checkers on a checkerboard, a Monopoly on a Monopoly board. There was a board or a carving that you used to cast lots that still exist in the floor that were carved in. So this was very common to cast lots for something. Go right ahead.
Then Haman said to Ahasuerus, there is a particular people scattered and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of every other people. Moreover, they don't observe the king's laws. It doesn't befit the king to tolerate them. If it please the king, have a decree written for their destruction, and I will hand over 330 tons of silver to the officials in charge of the king's affairs to deposit in the royal treasury. The king took a signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hamdata, the Agagi, the enemy of the Jews.
Can you pause right there? You know an easy way to remember that Haman was bad, Haman? Because his name starts with Ham, and his father's name starts with Ham, too. So there you go. Go ahead.
The king said to Ham on,
Ham on.
The money is given to you. And the people too, to do with as seems good to you. The king's secretaries were summoned on the 13th day of the first month. They wrote down all Haman's orders to the king's army commanders and governors in all the provinces, and to the officials of every people, to each province in its own script, and to each people in their own language. Everything was written in the name of King Achashverosh and sealed with the king's signet ring. Letters were sent by courier to all the royal provinces to destroy, kill, and exterminate all Jews, from young to old, including children and women, on a specific day, the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, and to seize their goods as plunder. A copy of the document to be issued as a decree in every province was to be publicly proclaimed to all the peoples so that they would be ready for that day. At the king's order, the runners went out quickly, and the decree was issued in Shushan, the capital. Then the king and Haman sat down for a drink together, but the city of Shushan was thrown into confusion.
So when did all this happen? What day? The 13th day of the 12th month. The 12th month is Adar, the 13th day, which is Monday. So what is today on the Hebrew calendar? Today is the 11th of Adar. The year 5783 is the day we're in today. So that's why it's celebrated on the 13th day.
When Mordecai learned everything that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out through the city lamenting and crying bitterly. He stopped before entering the king's gate, since no one was allowed to go inside the king's gate wearing sackcloth. In every province reached by the king's order and decree, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing, as many lay down on sackcloth and ashes. When the girls and officials attending Esther came and informed her of this, the queen became deeply distressed. She sent clothes for Mordecai to wear instead of his sackcloth, but he wouldn't accept them. So Esther summoned Hatak, one of the king's officials attending her, and instructed him to go to Mordecai and find out what this was all about and why. Hatak went out to Mordecai in the open space in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him and exactly how much silver Haman had promised to the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the decree for their destruction issued in Shushan so that he could show it to Esther, explain it to her, and then instruct her to approach the king, intercede for him, and implore his favor on behalf of her people. Hatak returned and told Esther what Mordecai had said. Then Esther spoke to Hatak and gave him this message for Mordecai. All the king's officials, as well as the people in the royal provinces, know that if anyone, man or woman, approaches the king in the inner courtyard without being summoned, there is just one law. He must be put to death, unless the king holds out the gold scepter for him to remain alive. And I haven't been summoned to the king for the past 30 days. Upon being told what Esther had said, Mordecai asked them to give Esther this answer. Don't suppose that merely because you happen to be in the royal palace, you will escape any more than the other Jews. For if you fail to speak up now, relief and deliverance will come to the Jews from a different direction, but you and your father's family will perish. Who knows whether you didn't come into your royal position precisely for such a time as this? Esther had them return this answer to Mordecai. Go assemble all the Jews to be found in Shushan and have them fast for me, neither eating nor drinking, for 3 days and night. 3 days, night and day. Also, I and the girls attending me will fast the same way. Then I will go into the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Then Mordecai went his way and did everything Esther had ordered him to do.
Amen, amen, amen.
Chapter 5. On the third day, Esther
put
on her royal robes and stood in the inner courtyard of the king's palace, opposite to the king's hall.
Go ahead, keep going.
The king was sitting on his royal throne in the king's hall, across from the entrance of the hall, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the courtyard. She won his favor, so the king extended his gold scepter in his hand towards Esther. Esther approached and touched the tip of his scepter. "What is it you want, Queen Esther?" The king asked her. "Whatever your request, up to half the kingdom, it will be given to you." "If it is all right with the king," answered Esther, "let the king and Haman come today to the banquet I have prepared for him." The king said, "Bring Haman quickly, so that what Esther has asked for can be done." So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. At the banquet of wine, the king again said to Esther, "Whatever your request, you will be granted it. Whatever you want, up to half the kingdom, it will be done." Then Esther answered, My request, what I want is this. If I've won the king's favor, if it pleases the king to grant my request and do what I want, let the king and Haman come to the banquet which I prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king has said." That day Haman went out and in good spirits, but when Haman saw Mordecai at the king's gate, that he neither rose nor moved from for him, Haman was infuriated with Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home, where he summoned and brought his friends and Zeresh, his wife. Haman boasted to them about his vast wealth, his many sons, and everything that connected with how the king had promoted him and given him precedence over the other officials and servants of the king. Indeed, Haman added, "Esther, the queen, let nobody into the banquet with the king that she had prepared except myself, and tomorrow too I am invited by her together with the king. Yet none of this does me any good at all, as long as I keep seeing Mordecai, the Jew, remaining seated at the king's gate." At this, Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends said to him, "Have a gallows 75 feet high constructed, and in the morning speak to the king about having Mordecai hanged on it. Then go in and enjoy yourself with the king at the banquet." Haman liked the idea, so he had a gallows made.
That sounds good. Yeah, good job, Casey.
That night, the king couldn't sleep. So he ordered the records of the daily journal brought, and they were read to the king. It was found written that Mordecai had told about Bigtana and Teresh, the two of the king's officers from the group in charge of the private entryways, who had conspired to assassinate King Ahasuerus.
It's harder than you think, so
you got to get used to it.
Yeah.
The king asked, "What honor or distinction was conferred on Mordecai for this?" The king's servants answered, "Nothing was done for him." The king then asked, "Who's that in the courtyard?" For Haman had come into the outer courtyard of the king's palace to speak to the king about hanging Mordecai on the gallows he had prepared for him. The king's servants told him, "It's Haman standing there in the courtyard." The king said, "Have him come in." So Haman came in The king said to him, "What should be done for a man that the king wants to honor?" Haman thought to himself, "Whom would the king want to honor more than me?" So Haman answered the king, "For a man the king wants to honor, have a royal robe brought from which the king himself wears, and the horse the king himself rides with a royal crown on its head. The robe and the horse should be handed over to one of the king's most respected officials, and they should put the robes on the man the king wants to honor and lead him on horseback through the streets of the city, proclaiming ahead of him, 'This is what is done for a man whom the king wants to honor.'" The king said to Haman, "Hurry and take the robes and the horse, as you said, and do this for Mordecai." Yay! "Mordecai the Jew, who sits at the gates. Don't leave out anything you mentioned." So Haman took the robes and the horse, dressed Mordecai, and led him riding through the streets of the city as he proclaimed ahead of him, "This is what is done for a man whom the king wants to honor." Then Mordecai turned to the king's gate, but Haman rushed home with his head covered in mourning. After Haman told his wife Zeresh, his wife, and all of his friends everything that had happened to him, his advisors and his wife Zeresh said to him, "If Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is a Jew, and you will not get the better of him, on the contrary, your downfall before him is certain." While they were still talking with him, the king's official came, hurrying to bring Haman to the banquet Esther had prepared.
All right. Thank you. Let's give Frank a hand. Thank you, Frank.
So the king and Haman went to Queen Esther's banquet. And the king again said to Esther at the wine banquet, "Whatever your request, Queen Esther, you will be granted it. Whatever you want, up to half the kingdom, it will be done." Wow. Esther, the queen, answered, "If I have won your favor, king, and if it pleases the king, then what I ask be given me is my own life and the lives of my people. Mm-hmm. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, killed, exterminated. Yeah. If we had only been sold as men and women slaves, I would have remained quiet. But then our trouble would not have been worth the damage it would have caused the king to alter the situation." King Ahasuerus asked Esther, "The queen, who is he? Where is the man who dared do such a thing?" Esther said, "It's this a ruthless enemy. It's this wicked Haman." Haman stood aghast, terrified before the king and queen. In a rage, the king got up from the wine banquet and went out to the palace garden. But Haman remained, pleading with Esther, the queen, to spare his life, for he could see that the king had decided to do him in. Haman had just fallen on the couch where Esther was. When the king returned from the palace garden to the wine banquet, he shouted, "Is he even going to rape the queen here in the palace before my very eyes?" The moment these words left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Harvona, one of the king's attendants, said, "Look, the gallows, 75 feet high, that Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke only good for the king, is standing at Haman's house." The king said, "Hang him on it." So they hanged Haman.
Yay, boo, yes, kind of both.
on the gallows he had prepared for Mordecai.
Yay!
Then the king's anger subsided.
All right. We have any more readers?
Yay! Go away!
All right. There you go. But you have to read it in just a spicy accent. Oh, here.
The same day, King
Ahasuerus
gave the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, to Esther, the queen.
There you go.
Also, Mordecai appeared before the king, for Esther had revealed her relationship to him. The king removed his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai.
Yay!
Then Esther put Mordecai in charge of Haman's house. Again, Esther spoke to the king. She fell at his feet and begged with tears to put an end to the mischief Haman, the
Agagi
had caused by the scheme he had worked out against the Jews. The king extended the scalp scepter towards Esther. So Esther got up and stood in front of the king. She said, "If it pleases the king, if I have won his favor, if the matter seems right to the king, and if I have his approval, then let an order be written rescinding the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hamdata,
the Agagi,
which he wrote to destroy the Jews in all the royal province. For how can I bear to see the disaster that will overcome my people? How can I endure seeing the extermination of my kinsmen?" King
Ahasuerus
said to Esther, the queen, and Mordecai, the Jew, "Listen, I gave Esther the house of Haman, and they hanged him in the gallows because he threatened the lives of the Jews. Sorry. You should issue a decree in the king's name for whatever you want concerning the Jews and seal it with the king's signet ring, because I decree written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring can't be rescinded by anyone." The king's secretaries were summoned at that time on the 23rd day of the third month, the month of Sivan, and the decree was written according to everything Mordecai ordered concerning the Jews to the enemy commanders, governors, and officials of the provinces from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces, to each province in its script and to each people in their language, also to the Jews in their script and language. They wrote in the name of King
Ahasuerus
and sealed it with the king's signet ring. They sent the letters to the couriers and horseback riding fast horses used in the king's service and bred from the royal stock. The letter said that the king had granted the Jews, the every city, the right to assemble and defend their lives by destroying, killing, and exterminating any forces of any people or province that would attack them, their little ones or their women, all would try to seize their goods as plunder on the designated day in any of the provinces of King
Ahasuerus,
normally the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar. A copy of this edict was to be issued as a decree in every province and proclaimed to all the people, and the Jews were to be ready on the day to take vengeance against their enemies. Carriers riding fast horses used in the king's service left quickly, pressed by the king's order, and the decree was issued in Shushan, the capital. Meanwhile, Mordecai left the king's province arrayed in royal blue and white, wearing large gold crown and a robe of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shahan shouted for joy. For the Jews, all was light, gladness, joy, and honor. In every province and the city where the king's order and decree arrived, the Jews had gladness and joy and a feast and a holiday. Many from the people of the land became Jews because fear of the Jews had overcome them.
Wow. Thank you, Joanna. Real quick, while Linda is coming up here, You see Jews in 127 provinces and speaking different languages. They weren't just in one little community. There were many, hundreds of thousands, actually millions, who were eventually. They were spread out. And what did they do in their own communities to stay together? Each community had a synagogue. So they could do what?
Study Torah.
Pray the prayers of the synagogue that were lost. And also they had a Beit Din. If they had a disagreement, they could come together. And this is all what was going on here. Just give you a bigger picture of what was going on. And up to this point, they had been allowed to live in peace, but problems started. But later on, Esther is going to have a son with the king. His name is Darius. And Darius gives the orders for them to go, the second order after Cyrus, for them, go back and restore the temple because he was a Jew. All right, we're ready. The last two chapters.
The time approached for the king's order and decree to be carried out, the day when the enemies of the Jews hoped to overpower them. But, as it turned out, the opposite took place. The Jews overpowered those who hated them. Thus, on the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, the Jews assembled in their cities throughout the provinces of King Ahasuerus to attack anyone who tried to do them harm. And no one was able to withstand them because all the peoples were afraid of them. But the officials of the provinces, the army commanders, the governors, and those occupied with the king's affairs helped the Jews because they were afraid of Mordecai.
Yay!
For Mordecai had become a powerful person in the king's palace, and his fame has spread throughout all the provinces. Mordecai continued to grow increasingly powerful. The Jews put all their enemies to the sword. There was great slaughter and destruction, and they did whatever they wanted to those who hated them. In Shushan, the capital, the Jews slaughtered 500 men. They put to death the two sons of Haman, the son of Hammedata, the enemy of the Jews, Parshandata, Dolphin, Espata, Porata, Adalia, Aridata, Parmashta, Arisai, Ardai, and Vasata. But they did not touch the spoil. The same day, after the king had been told the number of those killed in Shushan, the capital, he said to Esther, the
king,
if the Jews have slaughtered 500 men in Shushan, the capital, and the 10 sons of Haman, what have they done in the rest of the royal provinces? Now, whatever you request, it should be granted it. Whatever more you want, it will be done. Mm-hmm. Esther replied, if it pleases the king, let the Jews and Shushan act again tomorrow in accordance with today's decree. Also have Haman's 10 sons hanged on the gallows. The king ordered these things done. A decree was issued in Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. So the Jews in Shushan assembled also on the 14th day of the month of Adar and killed 300 men in Shushan, but they did not touch the spoil. Mm-hmm. The other Jews, those in the royal provinces, had assembled, defended their lives, and won rest from their enemies, killing 75,000 of those who hated them, but without touching the spoil. On the 13th day on the month of Adar, on the 14th day of Adar, they rested and made it a holiday for celebrating and rejoicing. However, the Jews of Shushan assembled on both the 13th and 14th day of Adar, so it was on the 15th that they rested and made it a holiday for celebrating and rejoicing. This is why the Jews of the villages, those who live in unwalled towns, make the 14th of the month of Adar a day for celebrating and rejoicing, a holiday and a time for sending each other portions of food. Mordecai recorded these events and sent letters to all the Jews in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, instructing them to observe the 14th day of the month of Adar and the 15th day every year, to commemorate the days in which the Jews obtained rest from their enemies and the month for which for them was turned from sorrow into gladness and from mourning into a holiday. They were to make them days of celebrating and rejoicing, sending portions of food to each other and giving gifts to the poor. So the Jews took it upon themselves to continue what they had already begun to do, and as Mordecai had written to them. Because Haman, the son of Hamdata, the Agai, the enemy of the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them and had thrown Pur, that is, cast lots to crush and destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he ordered by letters that Haman's wicked scheme, which he had plotted against the Jews, should recoil on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. This is why those days have been called Purim, after the word pure. Thus, because of everything written in this letter and what they had seen concerning this matter and what they had come upon themselves, the Jews resolved and took upon themselves their descendants and all those who might join them that without fail they would observe these 2 days in accordance with what is written in this letter and at the appointed time every year, and that these days would be remembered and observed throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim would never cease among the Jews or their memory be lost by their descendants. Then Esther, the queen, the daughter of Avachah-Aiel, and Mordecai the Jew, gave full written authority to confirm a second letter about Purim. He sent copies of it to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, ensuring their peace and security, and requiring the observance of those days of Purim at their designated times, as Mordecai, the Jew, and Esther, the queen, had enjoined them, and as they established for themselves and their descendants concerning the matters of fasting and lamenting. At Esther's order, these matters of Purim were confirmed and put in writing in the book. So am I supposed to continue or someone else?
Keep going. Go ahead. Okay. Finish it up. Yeah.
Chapter 10. King Ahasuerus laid tribute on the land, the coast, and the islands. All the acts of his power and might, along with the full account of the high honor to which the king advanced Mordecai, are written in the annals of the kings of Media and Persia. For Mordecai, the Jew, was second only to King Ahasuerus, for he was a great man among the Jews, popular with all his many countrymen. He sought the good of his people and interceded for the welfare of all their descendants.
Yay! Let's make it. Thank you, Linda. All right. Good job, all the readers. Let's give them a hand. Thank you. I want to make a couple little just comments on this. This is very interesting, to say the least. Imagine 127 provinces with Jews just in that kingdom. We're not talking about in further south in Africa. We're not talking about in Europe. We're just talking about in that kingdom, 127 provinces of Jews, 127 synagogues at least. Most likely there were more. There were probably some communities may have had, you could have 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 synagogues. So you're talking about thousands of synagogues that were established in exile. And who saves their people? A little orphan girl. Little orphan Annie. And you'll see all these parallels where it says that Mordecai the Jew was second only to King Ahasuerus. We see that with Moses. We see that with Joseph. We see that I'm missing at least one. We see this same pattern play out over and over and over and over again. One day, the Jewish people, they'll be second to no one. Why? Because King Messiah will sit on the throne.
Amen.
Amen is right. Amen. And we look forward to those days. Until then, we still have the Amaleks of the world to deal with. And we even still have the Ahasuerus of the world who on one hand are okay, they'll let us and let us live, and but they don't really protect us necessarily. But they say, you know what, it's okay to protect yourself. It's okay to have, you know, it's like he declared an open carry season. But he's not responsible for what happens. He just, okay, go ahead and defend yourselves. And it's also okay, you see this idea of God gave them the authority, and they went and they killed folks. And we see the same pattern during Hanukkah. You come against the people of God, you come against them, it can cost you your life. And we see the things going on in the world right now. Sadly, there are more Hamans out there and more Amaleks out there. Who are the Persians today?
Iran.
Yeah, back to, so has anything really changed?
No.
No?